turn this whole thing on. All right. 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning with verse 7. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Go once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was gathering sticks, and he called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may have drink? As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me please a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread. Only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourselves, for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day of the Lord sends rain upon the land. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family, for the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Isn't that amazing? That's a neat story. That's one of my favorite stories I remember as a child. Do y'all remember those little books, blue books, that are like Bible books for kids, and it was just like Bible stories? And I remember that one being in, and that's one of the first ones that I can remember reading myself and thinking about, wow, that is pretty neat. And you know, I was always wondering in the back of my mind, if I could go find that barrel and that jug, would still have flour and oil in it. Wouldn't that be neat? Because it never, but there's a condition, we'll talk about that in a minute, as why there's probably not going to be. But you think about little things, small things. Oh, am I even on? Brian. All right, I have to yell. Small things, you think about it in nature. Take an ant for an example. It can support 5,000 times its body weight. Isn't that amazing? 5,000 times its body weight. E. coli is a microscopic virus, and it can bring us to our knees. You think about something so small, microscopic. A gram of uranium can produce as much energy as 2 million grams of oil or 3 million grams of coal. And 100 grams of uranium can provide many countries electricity for an entire year. That's not much. And on and on and on. You think about all the different things. Little things can help or they can destroy. Introduction to this passage, you think about this, where we're at. In 1 Kings, we're introduced to a man of God who has the faith to encourage and stand up against a very, very wicked king who has brought false idolatry and debauchery into the kingdom. Elijah the Tishbite walks up to the king Ahab and informs him that God will not let it rain or dew to come for several years. This little prophet standing in the gap for God, you can imagine here he is, just a prophet of God, talking to King Ahab and standing there in the gap, and he tells him, this is what God says is going to happen to you because your lies, your false beliefs, your idolatry, your weak spirit, and it begins, you're being judged as a matter of fact today. And then Elijah walks out. That's kind of like what, you know, they do the dropping of the mic. That's kind of what Elijah did. He told him, dropped the mic, turned around, and walked out. And you can imagine King Ahab is just standing there, I'm sure, with his mouth wide open, thinking, my head's just spinning around. What did he tell me? What is it that he said? So God sends Elijah down to the brook Cherith, and he feeds him by the ravens and water down at the brook. And then eventually what happens is it dries up. And so that's where he sends him, where we are right now this morning, is Zarephath. And like the old saying says, when a door closes, God opens another door. But you've got to have enough faith to walk. Step through that door. You know, he can open all the doors in the world, but if you don't step through, then you'll never find out exactly what he has for us. So let's go to Zarephath. You think about the situation that's going on. It's drought. People are going hungry. You think about your waning faith versus a trusting faith. Finding our faith at times when it's hard. You think about this little widow. Remember, back then they didn't have any recourse of taking care of widows. If you're a widow, you're on your own. If you didn't have a husband or you didn't have a son that's old enough to take care of you, you were on your own. There's nothing that was going to help you out. So you think about, she has run completely dry. She's completely down to almost nothing. She was getting close to just complete, you know, giving it in, rolling up and crawling in a ball and just, you know, saying it's over with. And you think about this poor little widow. She was at the gate and she was gathering sticks. Elijah shows up and he asked her, he said, I want you to get me a little thing of water. I pray thee. It's more of a plea and not a command. Elijah's thirsty, and he asks this little old woman, he said, please give me something to drink. Give me some water. And she says, well, okay. Then as she takes off, he stops her and says, hey, wait a minute. If you're going to give me some water, I'm awful hungry. He said, why don't you make me a little cake? Which I would imagine it's more like a, you know what a Johnny cake is? You know, the little round things of cornbread. I imagine that's kind of what it would have been like. She's kind of confused about her request. She says, I haven't a cake. I don't have anything. I only have a handful of meal in a barrel and just enough oil to bake it. I'm gathering these sticks that I may be going to go in and fix the last meal that my son and I are going to have on earth, because we're going to eat it and then we're going to die. We're going to starve to death, is what she's saying. I've never been that low, you can tell. I mean, most, think about it. I mean, we're talking about she's in a situation where she has nothing. It's not like she can go to Kroger and get some. She doesn't have any, subsidies coming in. She has nothing. She was at a point in her life that she was giving up, or she thought, everything. The last she had was there in that corn, that meal, and that oil. There was nothing left. Don't you feel that way sometimes? Don't you really feel that way sometimes? That sometimes life can throw some things that are so devastating at us that we do want to crawl up in a ball and just wait for it to be over with. We're just tired of it. We're tired of all the problems. We're tired of all the issues. And just one more thing. And we just want to just hide away because life is crashing down on us. Whether it's the death of a loved one, whether it's the loss of a job, whether it's bad news from a doctor, or financial problems, or marital problems, or just family, whatever the problem may be. These things come down on us, and sometimes we just want to give up and quit. We feel like we're just at the end of our rope. There's no rope added to it. We just feel like we're at the end of it, and we don't know what to do. We've all been there at some point in time where we feel like our faith is slipping and slipping and slipping and slipping away. That's a reality. We sometimes can feel like nobody knows exactly how you feel. And you think sometimes nobody really cares. I'm sure this poor widow probably thought there's nobody in the world that cares about what she's going through. There's nobody in the world that cares that she's going to starve to death. There's nobody in the world that cares that this is all she's got for her and her son, and that's all there is. And then we'll just kind of eat the meal, and then we'll just wait around to die. I can't imagine, in certain degrees, that we felt like this. There's no neighbors there. You didn't see here any neighbors come in and say, hey, can I help you out? The synagogue or didn't come out and nobody there helped her out. She was on her own. She seemed to have no one to bear the burden she has to carry. But God does know, doesn't he? God does know. Just when she needs him the most, who arrives? God does, right? Just when you need God the most, he arrives. And that's what he did. He arrived in a man, a prophet called Elijah. She's about gone. Remember that. Her faith in is just about, you know, gone completely. Everything about her is just gone. You think about that faith in action. She was out searching. She needed sticks. She's out searching. She knew in her mind that it did how many sticks she was going to need to build a fire, what it would take to build, you know, make the cake and with the oil and die. But what she didn't realize that she was going to find when she's out picking up sticks, she didn't realize she was going to come face to face with a representative of God. That God knew what she was going through. God cared about her. Even though she is just a widow with a son, God knew exactly what she was going through, and he cared. You think about the conditions that are placed here. Condition number one, he says, fear not. Don't be afraid. Fear to do, and what we know we need to do, fear can cause us to be crippled in faith. There's nothing that can cripple you any quicker than fear. I'm afraid. I don't know what to expect. I'm scared this will happen. I'm afraid that they might say this. I'm afraid this might go on. I'm afraid. And that's true. That's a reality. Sometimes we are afraid. Sometimes we are fearful of what happens. Sometimes we are fearful about serving God because we've not stepped out and fully trusted in him. Look at the difference in the two. The widow is out looking for something to end, and she knows her life is coming to an end. Elijah was sent by God, and God listened to God, or Elijah listened to God, and he went, and he has that little thing waiting on him. God often says in his word, fear not. Do not let fear keep you from serving, obeying, trusting God. Don't let fear do that to you. Finding our faith, especially in the unknown. When you think about it, basically everything past this moment is an unknown, isn't it? Because we don't know what tomorrow is. We don't know what 5 minutes are. We don't know what 10 minutes will be. Everything is actually an unknown. If you find your faith, you will find God. Because it takes your faith to trust in God. It takes your faith to do God's will. It takes your faith to follow his purpose. So the first thing that he tells us to do is to fear not. The second thing he says, go and do. We are to go and do. In order to have our faith to grow, we must go and do. He doesn't say just sit and watch, does he? He says, go and do. Go ye therefore. He didn't say go ye sit down and watch the parade go by. He said go ye therefore and do. In order for grace to grow, we have to go and we have to do. Elijah said, do as thou hast said. Don't make the cake for yourself and your son. I want you to make it for me. You ever wonder what, and this is, I guess this is a detriment for me, but I always wonder what that little lady or what's going through the mind of the people in the Bible. I just can't help but wonder. I wonder what this little old lady is thinking. Have you lost your mind? I told you we don't have anything. I mean, you're asking me to bring flour to you and make you a cake and give you water? Are you crazy? My son and I are going to eat this. So what you want me to do, Elijah, is just for us to just die and not even have a last meal. But we don't know what's going through her mind, really. But it says, go and do, trust and obedience. We like to talk about faith. We need more faith. We can't do anything without faith. Problem is, we can say all this, but we end up doing nothing because we don't let our faith grow. You talk about faith and trust. This little widow gives up everything she has. Everything. Not just, you know, I mean, the widow's mite gave her an offering, but she didn't give up her house, she didn't give up her food, she didn't give up her anything. But this woman has given up everything. She's given up her very chance of survival. Go and do. Go and do. In order for our faith to grow, we have to go and we have to do. She's being asked to give up everything. And I could just see old Elijah sitting there on a rock, waiting there at the gates, waiting for her to come back. Waiting for her to do what he asked her to do. But it's not what he asked, is it? It's what God had asked him to ask her to him to tell her to do. Because it was testing in both faith. Elijah's faith to go, her faith to go, and do what was asked of her to do. We hold so tight to the little things and we guard them just like we're guarding an anthill. But what God wants for us, and you got to think about this, God wants to make little things enormous for us. He wants to take that anthill you're guarding and make it into a mountain. So God answers. Why does God answer? Because God what? Cares. And God loves. Please don't ever, and I know we say this sometimes, that God doesn't care about me. Well, we feel that way sometimes. God doesn't listen or hear me. I know we feel that way sometimes, but that's not true. We get caught up in that little line of thinking, and it gets us in a lot of trouble when we think about that God doesn't care, but He does care. He does care. He cares about this little widow who doesn't mean anything to anybody else in the world except her son. You know, that little widow, her son, is the only thing that they have is each other. Except that they didn't realize just how much God loves them so much. He cares about this widow. He cares about this son. He cares about this prophet. And she obeys and trusts, and her faith is what? Rewarded. It's rewarded. She makes the cake. She uses the last bit of the oil for the meal, and she gives it to Elijah. She takes it out to him. Message from God. The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day of that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Can you imagine? Every day when she went to make a meal, there was flour. She'd take all the flour out to make a meal, and what would be there next time? Flour. She uses the oil to mix in with the flour to make a cake. She puts it back on the shelf. What renews? Wouldn't that be just a neat thing to watch? You know, the oil coming back into a jar, the barrel being full of flour all over again. But there is a condition on this, that I will do this until I send rain. That's the reason why the barrel and the crews aren't still out there making oil and flour. Because it's going to happen until it rained, and then everything's going to be restored back to normal. Because of your faith, you shall receive an abundance. She didn't have just a little bit back. Her abundance was overflowing. Overflowing. Because of your trust, you shall receive an abundance. Because of your obedience, you will receive an abundance. How's your barrel? How's your faith barrel doing? How is your faith cruise doing? Is it overflowing? Or do you feel like getting empty and empty and empty with each and every day? Does it have to be that way? No. You see, God knew not only did she need a meal and oil to cook it in with that day, but for all the days to come until it rained. Our faith may wane, but we don't have to have that doubt. It doesn't have to last. Your faith may be shaken, but it doesn't have to last. It can go on and on and on, and your faith can grow. You take just these little things. The faith of what? A mustard seed. We're talking about the smallest seed that you can imagine. A mustard seed. And think about these. Little as much, but God must be in it. We talked about the widow's mite. Just a little tiny widow's mite meant everything to God. A mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds in the world. It makes such a huge tree. God took 2 fish and 5 loaves and fed thousands. Gideon's army, again, 20,000 soldiers. A little meal and a little oil. You may have small faith, or you may think your faith is small, but give it to God, and He can make it great in His name. God can take the smallest of the brothers and make him into a giant killer. You know, that King David was the youngest and the smallest of all Jesse's children, his sons. And he killed a giant because he trusted in God. A seed can make something enormous. God can take you and make great things happen. You may think you're insignificant. You may think you're not much. You may think I'm this, man. I'm small. I'm this. But God can take that you think is small and make something great out of it. If you find your faith, you give it to God to use, it's untelling what He'll do. Give your little to God and let God have the increase. It's just unimaginable to think about what He can do. Little is not much, but when God is in it, it's unbelievably great, isn't it? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the blessings. We thank you that you can take something so small and make it such a great thing, that you love us. And thinking about this widow and her son, that you, of all the people anywhere, you care and love them, and as we write or we see what you've written, how you bless them. You took care of them. You took care of Elijah. Father, you take care of us. I thank you so much for that. Let us believe this morning and understand that our faith may be little, it may be small, but you can do great things through us, because not us, but because of you, you will make the increase. What we have may be little, but what we can give you may be great when you're done with it. Father, just show us in our hearts the possibilities through you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.